but the time period varies with all individuals, according to their needs and their consciousness. The rest time serves another purpose. It further severs ties with the earth, the process of which began when they made their decision to go through the Valley of the Shadow. There is another point in connection with resting, said their companion in the white robe as he prepared to take leave of them. There are those who upon their arrival go to sleep simply because of their consciousness. They left the earth plane with the thought that upon making their transition the normal thing for one to do is to go to sleep. So upon their arrival they certainly do go to sleep, just as they had expected. When all these people have finished their resting and their sleeping, what do then? Joe inquired. That depends very much upon what they want to do, Cyril answered. Some people want to do nothing, and nothing is just what they do. But this is not generally true. Most people begin immediately preparing themselves for the life work they want to engage in. That life work may or may not have any connection with what occupation they had followed before coming here. There is one who had always wanted to study music but had not had the opportunity. You may be very sure that he will have the opportunity over here. He will devote as much time to this study as he cares to. There is another who wanted to be a teacher in a certain field, but because the Earth's social order gave him only limited choice, his desire had to be suppressed. He will have the opportunity to become whatever kind of teacher he desires. You see, it's not like it was on the Earth plane. There, when you were a certain age, you might have wanted to learn music or become a teacher, but you would say, I'm too old now to learn something new, or you wouldn't have time to go back to your schools and spend years learning a new skill. But here you're never too old. Time does not go by as years, as on the earth, and, besides, there isn't the necessity of a long period of instruction over here. When we desire to learn something, there are not the distractions as on the earth plane to keep one from learning, and the knowledge just seems to unfold before us as our desire to learn is demonstrated. Desire seems to be the key. Many, many individuals, Joe learned, after orienting themselves, find that their principal concern is for the welfare of people still on the earth. This concern may be directed toward a number of specific individuals, or it may be directed towards the partially blinded masses of struggling humanity generally. Furthermore, this concern may be of a strictly spiritual nature, it may be in the medical realm, it may be scientific, it may be in the field of human relations, it may be in any area of human concern. Do these people go back to work on the earth plane, then? Joe wanted to know. They certainly do. There is much that is being done in the way of assistance, mutual help, between the two planes. You will have an opportunity to observe many of these things and, to the extent that you like, participate in them. Joe realized that as yet he was not prepared to be of much help in an interplane capacity, but he did know that he could talk to people of his own type who needed assurance and encouragement. He had chosen this means of service and was already preparing himself for this role. After Joe thought about this exchange between the planes for a while, he asked Cyril, those people Aramias took me over to visit, those people who helped me at that foundation thing, they could talk to me when nobody else could hear what I was trying to say. I have never figured out, could they see me? Some of them could, Cyril told him. But they could all hear me when I talked through that lady? Oh, yes, Cyril assured him. Suppose one of those people wanted to talk to me sometime, could he get in touch with me over here? It is possible for people on the earth plane to summon those from our side when they want to have contact with them, even though this is not always a good idea. Some earth dwellers seek out and call back people from here just to get a comforting word of assurance that they are here, just to bolster their own sagging semi-conviction that there is a life beyond the grave. I don't think any of your foundation friends would do that, for they would know that much harm may be done to the progress of the individual thus sought out. Many who have come here are not ready to return and, in fact, should not be interrupted in their own orientation and development by those whose lack of understanding imperils this progress. Your family, Joe, could have done you a disservice by mourning too greatly about you and by refusing to release you from their consciousness. That would have tied you to the earth plane and made it more difficult for you to go on. I know, Joe responded. But just suppose somebody over them, maybe someone in that group, did want to have a sort of friendship with me, he pressed. Or suppose I wanted to go over and talk to one of them? As soon as you have learned how to go through the Earth's atmosphere alone, answered Jiril, you will be free to come and go as you like. But you must remember that most people, even those in your foundation, cannot see you and cannot even be aware of your presence in any way. Many people on the Earth can see us and many can sense our being there in other ways. They have to learn to do this, in most cases, and they have developed through practice and through meditation an ability to increase their receptivity beyond the normal range of the five physical senses. So, Joe, whenever you have received instruction in returning and can accomplish it without harm to yourself, and whenever the friend you desire to contact on the Earth plane has developed his receptivity to the point where he will be aware of you in some way, a delightful relationship and companionship between you two will be possible. But what about that lady I talk through? I can talk to her anytime, can't I? Yes, you can make yourself known to her, and she will be able to know you are there. But of course you are not going to go to her and speak to her just to prove to yourself that you can, and at the same time persons like her will not call you back just to prove that they can do it, either. They realize that passing between the two planes is a very serious matter. There's lots to learn, commented Joe. Indeed there is. When each of us comes to this side, and I found it to be true, too, it's like beginning our education all over again. Chapter 11, Maturity. From the time of Joe's first visit to the AUM Foundation, he looked forward eagerly to each succeeding visit. He found that being there gave him a feeling closely akin to security, although by now he was becoming much more adjusted to his new life. And while he did not need the security that being at the Foundation meetings gave him, he found that he liked the comforting peace that accompanied each visit. Perhaps this was because of the contrast between what he was now developing into and what he had been at the time he first appeared to the group. In the meantime, his enthusiasm for work in his new life was mounting. When viewed in the light of his new life, he was an adolescent, and his adolescent enthusiasm knew no bounds as he grew and studied and learned and worked. As a result of his rapid learning and growth, he was at this point a not uncommon mixture of the new and the old. Though he was rapidly acquiring the motivations and the values set forth by his teachers, there remained certain vestigial values and characteristics which had been part of his Earth personality. He would never have admitted it, perhaps he was only vaguely conscious of it, but there was a certain pride in his budding achievements, and he inwardly and secretly longed for the approval he knew he would get from the AUM group. This was another reason that his privilege of returning at the group for occasional visits was so meaningful to him, and he was deeply grateful to Aramia's for making these trips possible. Joe, of course, always enjoyed keeping members of the Foundation informed of his activities. Besides, there were certain things in his past for which he wanted to make amends, and he said during one visit, "When you get over here, and you look back and see all I've done. m.yg.o.s.h. You have to get busy. So I have to give my time to help him straighten out everybody that I was responsible for giving a kick and shoving them off when I was down where you are. Suppose I let some dame who came in my bar have one too many? But it's her children that suffered the result of her drinking too much. So I'm responsible for those children too." Joe's motivation was not wholly confined to his enthusiasm and personal pride in his accomplishments. Referring to the numbers of people who need help in their adjustment after transition, he said, "It sort of hits below the belt when you see all the great crowds over there, pushing and shoving, trying to get back to the Earth where they came from. And one little me here and one little me there, trying to talk to this mob, telling them and explaining. So that's why we need your help here. When you get to work in down here, and a lot of people get trained, then they can go to work as soon as they get up there. They're coming over so fast that," at this point Joe suddenly became fervently impassioned. "Why don't you do something?" he pleaded with great feeling, then added indignantly, "You folks are so dumb. Just like I used to be. Well, ya got the chance, why don't ya do something?" Then after a long moment's pause he went on, with more restraint and composure. But does it do any good for me to preach? I can't expect you to. But keep on the job,
huh?
And don't forget, one got three assistants. Most of the time during his visits was taken up by his expression of gratitude to the group for the help he had received and by his increasing appeals for more help to others. But he often expressed a lack of certainty as to his location now in relation to the Earth, further indication that the process of transition and adjustment in most instances takes considerable time. You ought to remember what I say about us up here, he said once, minus one mean, up there. Because when you do the kind of job you ought to do down there, down here, there'll be lots less for us to do up here, up there. As to Joe's whereabouts, well, where was he actually? Where is this place? It is probable that throughout all the ages in which man has speculated on a life after death, the question asked more frequently than any other has been, where is this place? The uncertainty has been because of our dependence upon three-dimensional space concepts. And because this is still true, the question of location is one that cannot be answered to your complete satisfaction. It is perhaps not too difficult to think in terms of interpenetration of essences, so that, as one of the teachers had said, your jet airplane might go right down our front street. You would not know it, but it is in, I shall have to say, your atmosphere about you. In further trying to make it a little clearer, this same teacher used the term condensed consciousness in describing its location. But he added, one do not think any of you know what that means. Another teacher, attempting the same difficult task, said, that which we call a sphere, or the next step, is in truth a consciousness, a state of being. When you leave your physical body, you are still yourself, your identity remains the same. Your outer garment has changed. You have a new body, that is automatic. It happens instantly, as soon as you are in what we will have to call an advanced consciousness. You say that your loved ones are over there. Where? They can be close to you or at a distance, according to both your consciousness and theirs. We cannot give you a geographical location. We cannot give you a place as you know a place, because there are no words to describe the interpenetration and interrelationship of planes. What about this new body you will have after transition? The new body you will inhabit will be very much like the physical body you will have just left. Why? Because in the law of spirit you will have stamped indelibly upon spirit essence the quality and the type of your new body. It has been pointed out that you are determining now what you will find when you cross over. Stated perhaps more specifically, it could be said you are now creating the mold for the body you will inhabit at your time of transition. At that instant you immediately gather from your surroundings, from the elements, the spiritual substance for the creation of a new and finer body. You step into the new body like going from one room into another. The vibrations of your new body become stabilized at a point commensurate with your level of consciousness and spiritual awareness, and there you are. Once Joe began to catch the vision of the potential which his new life on the other side opened to him, both his energy and his enthusiasm for his work were boundless. Aramius, in one of his frequent reports, pointed out, Joe's hard-boiled character on the earth plane was simply to satisfy his ego. He had been deprived of everything he had ever wanted. He was pretty low on the scale, and he wanted much more than he had. He wanted to accomplish something, he wanted to succeed. His achievement was in titillating his own ego by being a tough one. When that necessity was removed, he put all he had into the desire to be what he had originally wanted to be. Now he has paid his debt. He has crossed his A's and dotted his I's in less time than one could imagine. He went at it with the same fervor, the same determination that he has displayed in everything. Joe was a diamond in the rough, and that is the reason we brought him to you. He has recognized that there are absolutely no limitations. That is the determining factor, and that is what he is trying to bring out, the desire and the power. He can now speak with authority because he has made use of it. You can see the dynamic urge in him to get you to understand that you can do as he has done. When he caught the idea that the power was there to be used, he wasted no time with anything else. In the meantime, he is like a fireball in his determination to get back to Earth and help others put that power to work. Finally, a day came when members of the AUM were greeted by a voice which they did not quite recognize. It did not seem to belong to one of their familiar teachers, and yet the message was one of the same high spiritual quality to which they were accustomed. "I want to speak to you briefly about prayer," he began. "I would like to take a moment or two to give you an example of prayers that have been answered. Sometimes it seems that your prayers are not answered, but that is where you fail God. Your confidence in your prayer to God is what determines what happens as the result of your prayer. This is true whether it happens instantaneously or whether it takes a long time. The hesitation, the slight stumbling over the word as if it were not yet a totally familiar one, gave the group its first clue. That gets me to the point. I had a mother who prayed for me, and the more she prayed the worse I got. But she never stopped praying, God rest her soul, even when she got over here before I did. And even though she saw what I was, she kept on praying. My mother's prayers are answered, and I am trying to be what she saw in me because she believed in me. And I am going a little further. I am studying now to be a priest. It's a far cry from a rotten bartender to a priest." Yes, the members of the group were right. It was Joe, but a very much changed Joe, poised, literate, and obviously with a great spiritual depth. "Why am I going to be a priest? Because I feel that, as a priest, there are many people who will let me get closer to their hearts. At first I was one of them, and I could help them just so far. Then things stopped. But when I found that God could reach them through me, I wanted to be more than I was. So my mother's prayers are answered. Perhaps those prayers helped me to find this group here. Once you asked how you could help us. Extremely simple though it may seem, perhaps the greatest service you can render is the sending forth of a genuinely selfless love, unfettered by any negative emotion. This love is a powerful tool in the hands of those on the other side who have dedicated their lives to service to their less fortunate brothers. You can supply very valuable help through the simple process of loving. This may be to a specific individual or to individuals, or it may be a generalized and unspecified broadcast of love to any and all who need it on the other side. Just how those dedicated individuals are able to take this love and utilize it to its maximum spiritual potential need not concern us here. But an extremely crude analogy would be that just as an electrical transformer is able to step up the current into a higher voltage, so they are able to utilize love as if they were increasing its vibratory rate still higher. And the greater the vibratory rate of a power, the greater its potential for constructive use. Perhaps this gives you a brief glimpse of how important it is for you to send, as well as how grateful the dedicated individuals on the other side are to receive for their use, an understanding love. Remember that every single spiritually uplifting experience you have, whether you are experiencing love, tolerance, understanding, or just simple, wholesome, everyday happiness, is eminently shareable. And there are those on both sides of the veil who sorely need your love. It's a wonderful thing for me, now a member of the Imperator group, to come and talk with you. When I look back. But I don't like to do so, and looking ahead is much more important. Someday I'll see you all, and I can thank you face to face for all that you have done for me. And in doing for me, you have helped countless others you couldn't possibly know about. They help others in turn, and your chain goes on unbroken. Unbelievable that this was the same Joe you met early in the book. With God all things are possible when he is given a chance, when a life opens up to him on either side of the veil. Chapter 12, This Life and That Life, death, then, is more than a misnomer, it is an inherent contradiction. By connotation it attempts to refer to and describe a condition that does not exist, conceived as it is and defined by our dictionaries as a condition characterized by a deprivation of life. Instead, you have seen that it is only an incident in living. It is a closing of one door which automatically opens another. It is a milestone, to be sure, and one that brings about considerable changes in environmental conditions. But it is a doorway totally without any potential for effecting a deprivation of life. You have seen that when you go through that doorway, you merely change your outer garment, you exchange your physical body, which has been your habitation during this particular sojourn into physical life, for a very similar body of quite considerably finer texture. But you have seen that you, as the inhabitant of those respective bodies, take your consciousness through that doorway with you and arrive on the other side exactly the same individual you were before passing that milestone. You should realize by now that unless you properly prepare your consciousness to meet the circumstances involved in this change, you might find yourself mildly or greatly confused. You have read of some of the problems involved in individual adjustment to the new environment and have seen how specific individuals have met and coped with adjustment problems. Perhaps you have heard it said that this life is a preparation for the next life. There are two things wrong with that statement. First, it is incorrect to say that the life you are living now is a preparation for that which lies beyond the veil. Second, there is no next life. You have only one life. You will change your environment, to be sure, but you will never change lives. Just as this life is not a preparation for anything, neither is your next life to be considered a preparation for anything beyond that. They are two phases of the same life. To the extent that you are successful in eliminating one of these false impressions, the other tends to disappear also. Of course, how well you condition your consciousness to meet the circumstances of transition, and how well you will live your present earth span in accordance with the basic spiritual laws of your being, will prepare you for the level or the plane to which you will be attracted when you get over there. In the fallacy that this life is a preparation for the next, there lies an implication that the next life is a final culmination of some kind in which eternity is to be lived out. Therefore, the present earth life must of necessity be a preparation for that eternity. But again, that phase of life beyond transition is not a final culmination of anything. It is eternity, to be sure, but no less or no more than your present moment. Now is eternity. To the extent that you are able to expand your consciousness to the point of freeing yourself from the shackles imposed by the concept of the passing of time, you will come to understand that now includes all the eternity there is. In the sense in which we are using it here, you cannot, therefore, prepare yourself for something that is already here. Since now is eternity, and eternity is a completed infinity, it follows that passing through time or through eternity is an impossible concept. Thus it is that you cannot prepare for an expected arrival of eternity. But you can adjust more harmoniously to the spiritual laws of your own being which are inherent in eternity. All things are endowed by their Creator with some common denominator. That which is held in common with all that exists is a tendency to give of itself according to its nature. It is the nature of the sun to shine, it cannot do otherwise. It is the nature of the flower to give of its delicate fragrances, it, too, cannot do otherwise. It is the nature of the earth to give of itself. From the warm and bountiful land comes all that is necessary to sustain physical life harmoniously. If it seems at times to give forth less than perfection, it is because man himself has hampered it in its natural function. There comes now a statement that at first glance may seem to be strange, if not highly questionable. Just as it is the nature of the flower to give of its fragrances, it is the basic nature of man to give love. From within the depths of his being, this is his eternal motivation. You might ask how such a statement could be accepted as true in the light of such sordid and tragic conditions the world over, from the international down to the individual level, and in the light also of the thick, heavy band of destructive negation which surrounds the earth and its environs like a pall of darkness. Nevertheless, being an integral part of infinite love, man cannot permanently change himself into something unlike that which gave him an individualized identity. Our present man, and our present so-called civilization, have been merely temporarily caught in the slimy backwaters of greed and hate and selfishness and lust for power. But that the basic nature of man, to give love, will ultimately triumph is certain. Just as the drop of sea water is not the ocean but has the attributes of the ocean, you have the attributes of omniscience and omnipotence. Your nature, therefore, is that of divinity. Practicing the very consciousness of that divinity will pave the way for a much more pleasant transition when the time finally comes for it. Instead of its being the major tragedy it has unfortunately become, transition, except for the inevitable regret at the parting with loved ones, can be an altogether pleasant experience. The unpleasantness, the aura of tragedy with which it is presently enshrouded, can and should be dispersed. merely a pleasant transition, or a not unpleasant one, should not, of course, be your goal, but it will be the inevitable result of that spiritually enlightened consciousness which is born of your living according to the true nature of your being. As this consciousness is continually raised, it opens new vistas of attainment. It is well that you know some of the aspects of what life is like on the other side, but it is not well that you dwell on it, and become so engrossed in it that you find yourself attempting to live your life over there rather than your life here and now. You are a spiritual being, to be sure, but you are presently in physical life, and your God qualities must express through that physical life, from which it will be necessary, at some time in the future, that you make your exit via the door of transition. And as you assess the profit and loss of dying, do not overlook the fact that your individual balance sheet is being prepared now, by the things which you hold in your consciousness, by the degree to which you are expressing that which you originally came to express, by the degree of your Christ consciousness. In the expression of your God qualities, perhaps you have wished you could demonstrate this or that. Many individuals believe that their spiritual advancement is measured in terms of their ability to demonstrate something which may be nothing more than a simple psychic faculty. There are also many people who feel that their spiritual progress depends upon their having special experiences from time to time which they interpret as being spiritual, as an example, out-of-the-body experiences. There are those who would have you believe that if you cannot demonstrate this or that, then you are being left behind in the spiritual march forward. Many are so spiritually naive that they feel they are highly advanced because they have psychic experiences from time to time. And others wish they could have them. A given individual may be a highly developed psychic and yet need a very great deal of spiritual instruction and orientation and adjustment and straightening out when he gets to the other side. Do not make this mistaken assumption. You do not need special experiences of any kind. You are living in a physical world, in a physical body, and as long as you continue to do so, the experiences related to this type of life are all that are spiritually essential. Do not allow yourself to become spiritually discontent if you do not have experiences related more to the other side than to this side. Other things will come at their own proper time. Strive constantly to express the Christhood, the flame of which flickers imperishably within the inner recesses of your being. This is the greatest possible spiritual demonstration you can make or experience. The manner of your day-to-day living holds the key to the most solid spiritual foundation you can build. That is all you need to do, it is all you should attempt to do, and in terms of your true spiritual status as well as your spiritual future, it is all you can do. The end.